Well, I've been considering in the last few Sunday mornings from the Gospel of John. We've gone from chapter 14, and I was planning to take a chapter each morning, but we've come to the evening for this, and to chapter 16. And the theme from four chapters, really, 14 to 17, is one of great comfort. It begins just after the Lord Jesus Christ has told Peter that he will deny him. Peter loved the Lord. And yet he's told that this really points, doesn't it, right to this human thought, the human, no, I can do it. No, Peter, you're going to deny me. And he was, I can imagine his face must have turned absolutely white. He knew that there was no one else to turn to but the Lord Jesus himself. And he was told this terrible prophecy. He said, no, I will never deny you. This is what we're like. We have this self-confidence. And yeah, that passage that we read, one of the great proofs of the sinful nature of man, from Cain and Abel, the first death, the first murder in the world. Cain and Abel, they knew what had happened to Adam and Eve. They knew the fall, didn't they? Know, and they saw some of God's grace towards Adam and Eve in clothing them. But they had a sinful nature. That's why there was the murder of Abel by Cain. The sinful nature of man. It was right, you see, if we're going to learn it, no. It was in the first man, and it's in us all right the way through. And we see it here in Peter here, and Jesus Christ prophesying his own death, the betrayal. They were saying of Judas, it was going to be Judas, wasn't it? They couldn't believe it was any of them. They were saying, is it I? That's the fear of God. So how marvellous, isn't it? Chapter 14, these special chapters of really the last great address given by the Lord Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled, as our brother Isman quoted this one. Let not your heart be troubled. And as Isman said, easier said than done. But the Christian faith is based on great truths. Real, it's not just a vague belief, as we were talking this afternoon about. It's not just a vague belief that the Sir Archbishop of Canterbury faith is that we believe that something's there, so therefore we'll carry on and we'll eventually might get somewhere. No, it's nothing like that. It's much more positive than that. Much more positive. Jesus Christ speaks. He spoke. He spoke to the disciples. His word. He said, you know, the world would fade away. He said, but my word endures forever. We're like grass. Come and go. But the word of the Lord stands forever. We have a solid rock. He is the rock himself. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then we looked a couple of weeks ago in that chapter at how he spoke of the Father and then of himself and the Father being one. And so how do we know the Father? How can we know God, the Father? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And no one else can say that, can they? They saw Elijah. What a prophet. But they hadn't seen the Father when they saw Elijah. They saw Moses on the mount. And the flames on the mount. And he came with the Ten Commandments on stones. And Moses couldn't say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When they saw Jesus Christ, see the Father. You can't see him. You'd burn up if you saw him. We're not able to stand before him. Our sinfulness. We're separated from God by our sins. But if you've seen Jesus Christ, seen the Father. Praise the Lord. And then he's going, he's with them. Just imagine being with God on earth, walking with you, like God walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. Oh, precious fellowship that was broken by Adam's sin. But Jesus Christ knows, I'm going to lay down my life. That's as we read, a little while, you'll see me not, a little while you'll see me again. He started to explain these things to him. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He's been speaking these last few weeks, and we've been saying that these four chapters speak on the theme of comfort. Didn't think I'd be preaching this to myself. I will not leave you comfortless. And then, the sending of the Holy Spirit. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. These words are used. The one that comes right alongside you. But he's another Comforter. Jesus Christ is a Comforter. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. He sends another one. Into all the world. If he doesn't go, he can't send the Spirit. Jesus Christ had to go. And he sends the Spirit, the Comforter, to all that come to Jesus Christ by faith. He convicts them of sin and righteousness and judgment. And he comforts them. I've died for your sins to save you forever and ever. What a Savior. Hallelujah. The Comforter comes. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Comforts us. Jesus Christ has died for you to save you, to give you everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In chapter 15, it's easy to become a Christian. Oh, you're preaching lovely, yes. Oh, I love Jesus Christ. And in the world, you have troubles, you have temptations, trials, different words to use it. So Jesus says in chapter 15, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Like the parable of the sower, when the seed came up, some of it just tangled up in the cares of life. Didn't bear fruit. It wasn't living for the Lord. Just tangled up in the cares of the life. Tangled up with other things. But the good ground brought forth much fruit. But in the vine, the branch that beareth fruit, he purges there. That it may bring forth more fruit. I didn't think last week that there'd be such an illustration of this purging. But praise God. When he purges his people, he cleanses. It's a cleansing. It's a washing of sin. Like the initial washing of sin when you trust in Christ. He does something most strange to you. But you cling to him more. You bring forth fruit. Well, what fruit have we got? We said last week, I turned you to Galatians, didn't we? Chapter 5 of Galatians. What is the fruit of the Spirit? You think, have you got to be Superman to bring forth fruit? No. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You haven't got to be Superman to be a Christian. God gives you this fruit of love and peace in Jesus Christ. And we saw the necessity of this because the world goes the other way. And we talked about a little bit about that last time. The world, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. We turned back a few chapters and we saw that the world hates Jesus Christ because it tells them about sin. They don't talk about sin. Can't we all be No. It's so important. Because we're living a lie. We've got to address the fact of sin. And Jesus Christ addressed the fact of sin. Full of grace. Full of truth. The truth is that we're sinners. The truth was that he was going to lay down his life. Save sinners. See, if you meet a sinner, they come up to you, get away from me. Don't worry, don't come near me. What does it say in Romans chapter 5? See how Jesus Christ treated them. In Romans 5, chapter verse 7, or verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amazing. 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 So a little on this comfort to continue. In John chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Now you think, well, what's that? Offended. It's the same word for stumbling, or the word scandal is the Greek word, if I'm right on that, I think. It means to stumble. If Jesus Christ hadn't spoken, people would be very confused. What a stranger. Where would you go? Well, he's going to die, go to the cross, and run away. They're all going to be away. He's going to be on his own. But he's spoken to them. He's spoken to them about the Father, about the Comforter coming. And he's spoken about himself and abiding in him. Stay with Christ, stay with Christ. And whatever the world has to throw at you, you're safe with the Lord Jesus Christ. So then he warns them, they'll be thrown out of the synagogue. There was like the Apostle Paul, Jewish people who persecuted the Christians. Well and truly forgiven all these things. As the Apostle Paul did, he cried out that he would give himself if he could save the Jewish people, his brethren, and we would, if we could save anyone by giving ourselves, we would give whatever it would take. So then Jesus Christ then speaks again in this continuing sense of comfort, and this chapter 16 is an overwhelming chapter. There's too much to address here. I want to just look at a few things and then take you to various other scriptures. And the point I have here as an overall point is the way that Jesus Christ speaks and makes promises. He's given us his word, given us his precious, precious promises that you should not be offended. He's one, just like he said before in chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you so. He gives them. He says, doesn't he, that he doesn't treat them as servants, which we are. He treats them as friends, because he's told them everything, because a lord wouldn't normally tell his servants what he's going to do. But Jesus Christ does. He brings them, people are joined to him. That's one of the doctrines we speak about a lot here, isn't it? About how when a person comes to trust in Christ, they're in Christ, they're joined to him. Where he goes, they go. This is the great thing of the death and resurrection. The people that follow Jesus Christ, they're to die, but they're to rise again. And he's proved that there's not just a vague hereafter, but a bodily resurrection. The things that he's done, he does and promises for us. And then some of these verses here, verse 6. Sorrow has filled your heart. We know some of this at this present time. Sorrow has filled your heart. Jesus Christ speaking to comfort those whose hearts have been filled with sorrow. And he doesn't only have the compassion, he has the power. He has the power. He's promised in his word to do a great and marvelous thing. So he says, it is expedient for you that I go away. You don't really want to go away, don't we? We want to be together all the time. He says, no, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that I'm going away. You can't understand it. Why do you go? Why can't you stay with us? If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. You want the Comforter to come to all the believers throughout all the world? Jesus Christ must go. He sent a couple of words sitting outside the ceremony this afternoon and saying, Lord, send the Comforter. I think he sent the Comforter. He sent the Comforter at Pentecost. Thousands were converted. They were convinced of their sins and they were comforted with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Comforter does. He doesn't speak of himself when he comes. He doesn't come as a worldly comfort. He brings the comfort that the world cannot give. The comfort of Jesus Christ. It just says, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He said before that he is the truth, I am the truth. How will we be able to understand from a few disciples who got so distressed by the crucifixion they had to turn away? How will we ever have the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ? How will they ever finish? And they were guided. When Jesus rose and rose from the dead and then 40 days ascended into heaven, 10 days later, sent the Holy Spirit. This is why we've got the Gospel accounts. This is why we've got the words of Jesus Christ. And we've got the accounts of his life in the Gospels, and then more in the epistles, Paul and John and Peter, with the Spirit of truth, the Comforter was given to them. They explained all about it. What did it mean? What did it mean that Jesus Christ was here? They explained it. It's lovely, beautiful writings of these epistles. I want to point you to some of these epistles in just a moment. They show you what the Spirit will do. In verse 14, he shall glorify me. For the Comforter, we want comfort, don't we? The Comforter comes, and he guides in all the truth, and he glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when I first believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, truly, that he died for my sins. Where have my sins gone? He's died for them. He's paid for them. I carried around with me that scripture. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Precious, one Son. But whosoever believes on him, you can't just believe on someone. What's he going to do to you? You don't believe. No, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not natural. It's not natural to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be a sinner. Seeing him die for your sins. And trusting him. Yeah, he's died for me to save me from my sins. Whosoever believeth in him, John wrote, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's amazing. The Spirit, the Comforter, comes to glorify all that. To everyone that could go to heaven. Because the blood of Christ is so vast. He's the Son of God. The God-man became flesh. God the Son. So it's the blood of God that's shed. And the Son was separated from the Father, that's the agony of bearing the wrath of sin. It's incomprehensible. That they that believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So a little while, and you shall not see me, a little while, again, you shall see me, because I go to the Father. And then these things are too difficult to try and get to at this point. But listen to verse 20. So you can, sometimes you can't get a whole, every word of the Bible, but you can get something, and you know, I come back next time, and next year, and next year, and I get more from this. There's so much more here. There's so much more. In the Lord's Prayer, a few verses, you could go to it a thousand times. That's what it means, thy kingdom come. That's what thy will be done. You know, you could go on and on and on. The kingdom, the glory, the power. Endless. But here, just let me take you to verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye shall weep and lament. Understand, Jesus could understand real weeping. Real lamenting. But the world shall rejoice. They were rejoicing because Christ had been crucified. They were really sad. And you shall be sorrowful. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. For the joy that was before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. This is the greatest version of bereavement, losing the Lord Jesus Christ. But his promise, sorrow shall be turned into joy. In him, abiding in the vine, the Saviour, he doesn't let his people down. All things work together for good to them that are called, that love him. Then he talks about the prayer and asking them in prayer. And then he's come from the Father and I've come into the world, verse 28, again, I leave the world. He's going to leave the world and go to the Father. Now all that leaves the world in Christ go. And it says in verse 24, I've underlined all the phrases I want to pick on. You shall receive that your joy may be full. What a promise. Behold, the hour cometh, verse 32. Yea, it's now come. You shall be scattered, every man to his own. Imagine the desolation of the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. This is just before this time. It's every man to his own. Shall leave me alone. You've been left alone. You feel left alone. You feel empty. Desolate. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? We all left him to be crucified. Even his friends. Even Peter. And yet I'm not alone. First end of verse 32. Because the Father is with me. The Father is with me. You know, it's the same for the people of God in Jesus Christ. God is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. A very present help. Just a couple of weeks ago we were looking at that psalm this in an evening. A very present help in trouble. I had compared it, that scripture, to the devastation in Japan. Some were present in their helicopters with their cameras. They were present. Some of them were very present. They came down from the helicopters on ropes. Picked the man off the roof. Took him away. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Very present. A very present help, friends. Praise the Lord. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things, I tell you, there's a lot in these chapters I haven't touched on. Someone will preach it for about, some pastors might preach for 20 weeks on one of these chapters, one sermon at a time. I mean, we want to get the overview of the comfort packed into four chapters of the Gospel of John. In some of these Bibles, they have the writing of Christ in red. I've got one. I don't particularly agree with having the writing of Christ in red, because all the Bible is the Word of Christ, the Word of the Spirit. But you see it in those pages. Jesus Christ speaking. These things have I spoken unto you. So I said, Jesus Christ is speaking and making precious promises to those that he loves. That you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. It was to say today, you hear these false preachers. Come to Jesus Christ. All your cares, all your worries. Some of our cares, our worries, yes, we do cast it on the Lord. You'll have everything. You'll have riches. You'll have health. You'll have this. Jesus Christ says, in the world, you shall have tribulation. That's why you need to cling to the vine. Stay in the vine. Remember our sister Mavis, who went to live at Woodlands, who died recently. She always, poor eyesight, a poor hearing. She always used to go on with the words a bit out of time, we remember, don't we? Annoying, but bless her. She always used to say, hold fast to the Lord. I always used to say to her, being a Calvinist, Mavis, he's holding faster to me than I'll ever hold him. None can take him out of the Father's hand. None can take him out of the Father's hand. In the world he shall have tribulation. We have. Tribulation. Denzel has tribulation, so you talk about every week, don't we, Denzel?
Yeah.
Denzel says to me sometimes, I wouldn't like to be you with all responsibilities. I say, I've seen Denzel in his difficult days. Tribulation. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Gotta cling. You've got to be in the vine and accept that pruning that goes on. And don't say, oh, there's a bit of pruning, I'm going to run away. No, stay with Jesus Christ. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Arrogant, isn't it? God. God speaking. God is with us. Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You're going to get annoyed with me now, because I want to quote you lots of verses of the Bible, and you're ready to go. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll do this a little bit quickly. Now we go to Romans 15 verse 4, I just want to convince you, and you need more convincing. Romans 15 verse 4, just lots of scriptures here. Now the God of for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. This comfort of the Holy Ghost of speaking of Christ, it's in the Bible. The biggest secret that this world has been privileged by people that have given their lives and been burnt at the stake for translating it into English, and we've had it longer than pretty well any country in the world. What's that? It's the Word of God. There's a comfort in here. It is the comfort of the scriptures, the comfort of the comforter, the comfort of the Holy Spirit sent from the Father by the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. The comfort of the scriptures. Let's see how it goes. I spoke to you recently in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to show you how some of this works. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed in verse 3, be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all theory without the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing real based in fact. He's a fact. He came into the world. He died. He rose again. He proved himself. He's not just a philosopher in a cave like some we could mention. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. I'm just skipping a few words. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And down to verse 15. And in this confidence I was minded to come to you before. So I think I've gone to the wrong that's the wrong verse, but that's okay, because there's plenty more verses. I'll just turn you again to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 3. We love verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Amazing, isn't it? We saw that. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're counted righteous, because he's the righteous Saviour. His righteousness is counted to you. His sin, your sin is counted to him, because his blood takes away your sin and counts his righteousness to you. Marvel. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse 3, there's no answer. But we glory in tribulation. This isn't something done lightly. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. See that, can't you? You've got to be patient in tribulation. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. It joins us back, right back to the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we said, and hope makes it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Back to the Comforter again, which is given unto us. Now, I quote the verses I've quoted already. So, as we turn to another scripture, I've just given you favourite scriptures now. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. So the person is trusting in Christ. They're risen with Christ. They're already brought to life. If you could ever be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ in heaven. We have today another one in heaven that we're set our affection on. Beautiful. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Don't forget, these are the words that Jesus Christ promised to the apostles, like Paul, that the Spirit would give them the truth, guide them in all truth. So what's come just that follows on from the Gospels is this what's been given by Christ from heaven. Explaining who Christ is and explaining and teaching and guiding them. The early church that set up then, the scriptures are then completed in the days of the miracles that proved the early church. So we talked about heaven. Let's look into heaven a little bit in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And there was no man in heaven was able to open the book. I wept much. This is John writing. And then one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals of it. And I behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. As it had been slain, you know Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Again, this number seven is used to show the completeness of it. Sent forth into all the earth. Came and took the book. Sorry, I'll go down a little bit here. And they sung a new song, verse 9, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Saying, verse 12, skipping on a bit again, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. This is songs in heaven. This is what's going on in heaven. It's not, we like to think about being with people in heaven. There won't be any less. Heaven won't be any worse than earth. Don't worry about that. But this is the central feature. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, even as a lamb that was slain. His cross, his crucifixion is not forgotten in heaven. He's always the lamb that was slain. There's this great praise to God. God being God. For being the saviour of sinners. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Say those things a lot more slowly and think through those different attributes. And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And then in chapter 7, verse 9 to 12. After this I beheld, lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palms in their hands, cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing, glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. I think I must close because I could go on and on about every other text that I missed. The glory that's to come there, seen in the Lord Jesus Christ in glory and in heaven. And I've given you many promises, the impossibility, as it were. How could we be there? When Christ has promised, he's coming, isn't he, as the judge to divide the sheep and the goats. We spoke this afternoon about the camel and the eye of the needle. If a rich man can't go through it, Job was rich. We spoke this way. Abraham was rich. They didn't go through because they could do anything with their riches. All by God's grace. Impossible with man. It's all by God's grace. It's all by him giving us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life, yes.
I lost a lot, but I want to be happy.
Good. Yeah, we've lost a lot, Denzel. You put it, we've lost a lot, but we're wanting nothing. I think that does sum it up, doesn't it? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, teaching you of Jesus Christ, you can be sure in him you have all the comfort of the God of all comfort. And we have, in this world, tribulation. But be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. Amen.